Thank you, everyone who's been serving in all the capacities that you serve at First Hope Bible, so we can come and encounter the living God this morning. So thank you for that. My name is Pastor Harris, and I'm the lead pastor here at First Open Bible. It's my honor today to bring God's Word to you. But not only bring God's Word, I'm excited for what God wants to do and what God is going to do this morning. I don't exactly know, but what I know is He knows, and so I want to know what He knows. Amen. Then I want to know it, and I want to experience it. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. I'm going to keep just being led by the Spirit this morning. Reverend John is not here this morning, but he did a wonderful job bringing the Word last week and also demonstrating. Amen. We are blessed with multiple teachers, prophets, evangelists, preachers in the house that can guide us and lead us into what God wants. We're very blessed here at First Open Bible, but I pray for more, God. We need more. Amen. More, Lord. People are going to step up into their callings very, very soon. You got to step up in your calling, right? Get your life right. Get you lined up with God, and then get to work for God. Surrender, submit, and then serve. Hallelujah. Pastor John did an awesome job bringing the Word last week, and he also did an awesome job demonstrating the Word through the gifts of the Spirit. I'm excited for what God is doing and what God wants to do. There's authority in the name of Jesus. Amen? Church, then act like it. Okay. But act, you be led by the Spirit. Not your pride. Some of y'all think you have authority in Jesus' name, but you have authority in your own name, and God didn't tell you to do that, and you're just like, in Jesus' name. You know why there's nothing happening? It's because you weren't led by the Spirit of God. You were led by the spirit of your own pride. But God wants to do something. Submit and surrender and then serve Him, and there's authority in the name of Jesus. You don't got to be afraid of nothing in this world. Nothing. Nothing. There ain't no demon, there ain't no sickness, there ain't no pain, there ain't no shame that can line up or even compare to the power of Jesus. It's true. Church, this is a great time to be alive, for the Spirit of God is moving in mighty ways. Now, my family and I had a wonderful time in Arkansas for a long weekend last weekend. We went to a wedding, which was so beautiful. And then I had the great honor of preaching for my old pastor, my old mentor, and my personal friend. That was a huge honor of mine. And what was crazy is I went to preach. I went to bless them because he did his daughter's wedding the day before, and that way he didn't have to prepare a word. And then before we left, man, we got my wife, me, my children, everybody. We all got prophesied over and built up. I was like, wait, hey, that's not why we came, right? Sometimes you come to give, and God is so awesome that He gives. Amen. Right? You came to lay it down, and God says, I don't want you just to lay it down, but pick something up and carry it out. Amen. Right? I was so blessed last weekend by what happened. It was a powerful time. I feel refreshed, and I feel energized from the Lord, if you can't tell. All right. See, ministry can weigh you down, church. It can weigh you down. People can weigh you down. Things can weigh you down. You can weigh yourself down. Dairy Queen weighs you down. There's a lot of things that weighs you down. Y'all think about Dairy Queen right now, aren't you? Give me a blizzard. In the name of Jesus. Pastor said, get a blizzard. Pastor said, do some sit-ups and get a blizzard. Oh, that's what I said. Okay. Preaching to the choir. All right. That was a powerful time. I feel refreshed, I feel energized, and I feel blessed. And I'm so thankful what God has given me. A word today, From the Ashes is our current series, and we're going to conclude our series today. You know, because sometimes our lives feel like they're a pile of ashes. We can feel broken, and shattered, we can feel destroyed. However, the good news of Jesus and His life, His death, and His resurrection means we can experience new life and have our lives rise from the ashes. Amen. Some of y'all, if you're new or haven't been to a church that's so loud before, what amen means is, I agree. Amen. Let it be. Amen. So a lot of people you'll hear say amen, or that's right, or boo. I'm just playing. I'm like, honey, quit booing me. Okay? Save it for the house. Boo me later. Okay. I'm just playing. That's a joke. She's like, now I'm going to boo you. No, but I'm thankful for a church that's alive and that loves the Lord. I'm not saying that you have to say amen. I'm not saying that. But something resonates in your spirit, and you're like, I can't hold it in. Let it bubble up and just say amen. Because that resonates with me. God has given me a word through that guy up there preaching. Right? Amen. I need that. I testify with that. I'm going to grab that and put it in my heart. I need that. You may, church, some of y'all may feel like life is lifeless right now and insignificant. But sometimes things that appear lifeless just need the right climate to grow. You walked in the right atmosphere today. You walked into the right climate this morning. In the church house, this room is full of the Holy Spirit, and He brings His oxygen. And God's word is going to be our fertilizer, and His Spirit is ready to rain down on us again this morning. Yes. It's time. It's time for your ashes to rise up. Amen. I'm going to speak life to you this morning. Anybody need that? Yes. Let me speak life to you this morning. Church with Jesus, we go from death to life. From the ashes into beauty. We go from hopelessness into being hopeful. We go from lifelessness into everlasting life. But you have to prophesy to your situation sometimes to see things happen. Speak God's life in your brokenness. Speak God's word into your storm. Proclaim His promises to your problems. But church, you got to speak out. God did not give you a spirit of timidity. God did not give you a spirit of fear. I'm just gonna go there right now. Some of y'all are walking with a spirit of fear, and you need to get cast out of your life. Because He's given you love and power and of a sound mind. That's how you walk. You don't walk in the spirit of fear. But some of y'all are afraid. World don't need chicken Christians, man. But Christians need fried chicken, okay. Oh. What do they call that back in the day when we used to have a bunch of food together? They called that after church, potluck. I'm feeling a potluck coming on. But God did not give you a spirit of fear, but of love and of power and of a sound mind. Did you know that actually every believer is called to prophesy? That's scriptural. We're going to get into it. Not me. Well, then you deny the Bible. Oh, I can't do it. The more you should. You've been doing too many things on your own strength, and you have not stepped out of the boat in faith. When you come to the end of you, that's when God is activated in you. Okay? When you come to the end of your strength, that's when He says that when you are weak, He is strong. But you got to come to the end of you. Some of y'all got to step out. Turn on the news. Turn on what's going on right now. You don't think the world needs some activated Christians right now stepping up, speaking out, and getting involved? Get your head out of the sand and your booty out of the seat. Come on. True. But I'm afraid, but God has not given me a spirit of fear. But I'm afraid. God has not given you the spirit. You got to speak to that. I don't have the spirit of fear. I have power and love, and I got a sound mind. The devil's a mess. I don't want any part of that. I got a message. I'm on like page 2. I haven't even cracked the Bible open yet. Hallelujah. Mm-mm-mm. To speak, you got to speak God's love and speak God's authority. Prophesy to the dead things. Speak God's life to it. Renewal and change will come to your life when you do these things. See, Jesus broke the curses and healed your sickness. So speak to it. Vision, dreams, callings, speak them out. You think they're dead. Joseph was in a prison still remembering the dreams. For years, they ain't dead. They got to rise from the ashes. That's what they got to do. Amen. If the demonic is tormenting you, speak to it and cast it out. Amen. Brokenness, sadness, and depression, not of God. Speak life. Amen. Some of y'all who have been dealing with depression, I got this morning. Some of y'all have been dealing with depression, it's because you have unforgiveness in your heart. You are unforgiving. You are depressed because God can't forgive you because you haven't forgave others. And it actually says you can't even come to the altar before you go to the person and ask for forgiveness. You shouldn't even be at the altar. God can't accept your gift until you forgive. Some of y'all deal with depression in here today and sadness and brokenness. And God says it's because you're unforgiving. Remember what he has forgave you of. How many times do you forgive? It's not a math problem. What he's saying is you don't. Stop forgiving. Amen? Amen? It's true. So many times we don't even need the enemy. We sabotage ourselves. You blame the devil all the time, but you should just look in the mirror and speak to that and say enough's enough. Amen. Enough's enough. I'm in the way of God.
Amen.
Set me free. Church, everything rises from the ashes when God speaks. Church, you will continue failing in the natural because God is expecting and calling you to step out in the supernatural. Today I want to teach, today I want to preach, and today I want to prophesy. I think I already have, and I'm going to keep doing it. So as I was studying this week, God was revealing to me in his word, right? I'd read his word. So a lot of times I read, and just a little background, I read and I study, and then I start writing a bunch of stuff down. And then this week, I have less notes and more study, right? I just read the Bible over and over and over and over and over and over and got revelation and over and revelation. And then God says, you're going to have revelation on Sunday morning, so quit writing it down, quit making notes, and just flow with it. So I'm going to step out in faith today. So I got almost like half of the normal week's notes today because God is also challenging me. See, a lot of times we think that the pastor is mightier than or holier than. Listen, when I come to preach, and I don't know about other pastors, but I'm the first one to hear the sermon. I'm the first one in line to say, God, you need to change me. I'm the first one to say, I got to even step out in faith in my own life, in my own walk. And so let me lead you today, even walking out in faith myself. So I just want to say what Paul said. He said, follow me as I follow Christ. Okay? You ready to follow? Okay. All right. What about you, back row? Hey, hey. I always pick on, that's where the sinners sit. Or the people with small bladders. Hallelujah. Mm-mm. Pastor, come on now. Truth will set you free. So I was studying this week, and I was reading in the Word over and over again, and I wanted to find out, what is normal, okay? A lot of times we think that this thing that we do with Christianity, we make it not normal. We make it harder than it is. We make it weird. You know it's not weird walking up to a stranger and giving them a word of knowledge? That's not weird. That's weird to the world, but that's not weird to the Bible. You know, it's not weird that stepping out in faith and doing things that challenge you is not strange. That's called faith. That's taught in the Bible. So I'm reading and I'm like, God, I want to know what church should look like. Like when we gather together, I understand we're the church, but I'm talking like, what does worship look like on a Sunday morning or a Wednesday night here at First Open Bible? What should be normal? I don't care about tradition. I don't care about religion. I want to know what the Bible says is true, and I want to follow that. That's what I want. That's what I desire. I don't care about open Bible denomination. I don't care about whatever. I want to know what God says is true from His Word, and I want to follow that. And I'm thankful that we have great tradition in the church. I'm thankful for the things that we've done. I'm thankful of us honoring the Word of God and honoring the Spirit of God. I'm thankful that we're in a denomination that does the same. I'm thankful. But first and foremost, I want to follow what God's Word says. So what is normal? What's normal? So I'm reading some letters that were written to the churches in the first century. Some call them epistles. That's the fancy word. But what they are is letters. A lot of them are from the Apostle Paul, and he writes these churches. And while he writes these churches, he's not only writing these churches, he's helping instruct these churches and leading these churches and where they need to go. And he's correcting these churches because he loves them and he knows God has more for them. And so I love it. I was reading all over the place, and I landed on some good places here today. I'm going to land in one chapter, and we're going to get into it. Just one chapter. Man, I've read the Bible a lot in my life. I got saved in ninth grade, went into Bible college, and that was the first time I ever actually really read the Word. I was about 18 years old, and I was really reading the Word. Why? Because I had a test on it. Okay. I'm going to be honest. But I fell in love with God's Word through the testing as well, and I'm so thankful. But I've been reading God's Word a lot, and there's always new revelation. Just because you've read it before doesn't mean that you're not walking through something new, that you need to read it again. Right? It's alive and active. That's what the own Word says. It's alive and active, and it's sharper than a double-edged sword, and it's going to go deeper than bone and marrow. It's going to go deeper than that spiritual thing that you're walking through or that physical thing that you're going through. It's going to go deeper than that, and maybe you need to read it again and see what kind of revelation the Holy Spirit wants to give you in your life at this time. And so I'm so thankful that God was having me read something again, and man, I got all kinds of revelation. So there's this guy called the Apostle Paul. He was Killer Saul, turned into the Apostle Paul. Now, he was apostolic in his anointing. Big church word. In his calling, he was apostolic from the Lord. What that means is he was called to oversee churches and also help them grow with the Holy Spirit. So, if you will you open your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 14? So the New Testament starts with the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. That's the first four books. These are accounts. Oh, don't put it up yet. Not ready. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, right? And yeah. And then you have Acts, Romans, and then you got that 1 Corinthians. Okay? So it's seven books into the New Testament is where you're going to find it. If you don't know that where that's at, go about three-fourths of the Bible. You'll probably be pretty close. To the back. All right, while you're opening to 1 Corinthians chapter 14, I'm going to give a little background of the Corinthian church. Now, you know there's no such thing as a perfect church, right? Yeah, because you're in it, Pastor. I got you. Okay. It's hurtful, but it's true. It's true. So are you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Just bearing one another's burdens. Okay. Well, that was fun. I feel better. I feel better. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. So there's this Corinthian church. It's not a perfect church. There's no such thing, and there never has been. The Corinthian church was doing great things for the Lord. But this church also had a few major problems as well. That's why Paul wrote this chapter, to instruct them and correct them. This particular church was operating in the supernatural. They were operating in spiritual superiority, not in spiritual unity. They had the baptism of the Holy Spirit and the gifts in operation. Praise God. But they did it in an unhealthy way. Now, spiritual gifts are beneficial only. Church, say only.
Only.
Only when they are properly used to help everyone. We should not exercise them only to make ourselves feel good or feel puffed up. Like, look at me and my gifts, right? You are now a Pharisee. You don't want to do that. That's not what it's for. So this particular church took their Christian freedom to an unhealthy level. Have you ever seen a Christian do that before? Mm-hmm. Wave your hand in the air like you care. Yeah? You seen that? So has the world. Let me give you three things that this Corinthian church had some major problems that were going on. Number one is this. People were just speaking in their heavenly language. They were speaking in tongues over and over, and visitors could not understand what they were saying. It was causing confusion instead of benefiting all worshipers. The gift of tongues caused disorder in the worship service and did not encourage unity in their service. Can you imagine if I just went up here and I started preaching in tongues? Shindarambo, koramba, bidarambo, dodo, shingarambo. You'd be like, psh. Pastor, what are you saying? See, public worship should be understandable and edifying to the whole church, not just a few. Okay? So that was one big thing. People were just popping off, speaking in tongues all the time to each other. And visitors came in and they're like, what are they saying? What is going on in here? Right? I don't understand all these languages. Now, here's the second thing that happened. They had the gift of tongues in singing as well. They had the gift of tongues, right? So there's a difference of having tongues and then speaking with your heavenly language. One is personal and one is corporate. So they had the corporate speaking in tongues. They also had the corporate singing in tongues, right? My twin pant lady here could have been singing, right? She could have been singing in tongues. That's what they were doing. And that was in operation during the worship services, but it was used without the gift of interpretation. One gift has to match or has to have the other gift to provide ministry to the church. So what was happening is this caused confusion, and Paul says this, and we're going to read it in just a second. It's better to speak five words from God that everyone understands than it is 10,000 words in tongues that nobody understands. That's what he says. That's verse 19. We're going to get to that in just a second. All right, here's the other thing that happened, a major thing that was going on. Another thing that was happening was the women in the church, they were free to pray and prophesy in public worship. That's awesome. They had a place, right? What's really cool is think about the time that they lived in and what women were. They were more property than they were people. But when they met with God, everyone, you know, the ground is level at the cross. Jesus did a lot of amazing things for women in that time, in that region, at that area. And what was awesome is there was places for women to have and to prophesy and pray. But what was happening is the women in that church took it too far. See, all godly women have great things to contribute in public worship. I'm thankful for that. Think about this. Jesus did his first miracle because of why? His mama told him to. That's right. All my ladies say, hey! You're welcome. It's true. That's biblical. But these godly women, they had great things to contribute in public worship, but it was in this particular church that the women were starting to confront and question the men in church during service. Like a woman would pop up, what about this, pastor? Okay, yeah, let's do that. And then I keep preaching, what about this and what about that? And then they're arguing with their neighbors and they're arguing with this guy and that guy and these people. This is causing division and confusion in the church. Paul was asking the women to not flaunt their Christian freedom during worship and to talk to their husbands at home about their questions. And the reason for that is at that time, men were educated and women were not. And so when they went home, they could ask their husband, who hopefully was educated in the Word of God or in the Torah or in the things of God, and they were able to ask those questions instead of the middle of the service causing distraction one after the other where you can never get anywhere. Now you're going to read that in verses 34 and 35 here in a moment. And Paul is asking these women to remain silent during the service. Now the purpose for that was to promote unity, not to teach about every woman's role in the church, because that also doesn't line up with a whole bunch of other stuff he said. He's so thankful for Eunice and all these people that are praying and prophesying, building up and edifying and encouraging and then discipling, right? Women have amazing roles in serving God. So don't get that twisted. Take one verse and run with it, or two verses. So here's what was happening. The Corinthian church was running to Jesus, but they were running wildly to him. Blah, just rolling down the aisles and barking and all the crazy stuff that sometimes we see. Just crazy stuff. Now, church, worship is vital to the life of every individual believer. And it's very vital. Worship's vital to the whole church. Church services should be conducted in an orderly way. Those who are responsible for planning a worship service should make sure that there is order and there is direction rather than chaos and confusion. Also saying that, those who are responsible should also allow the freedom of God's Spirit to move as God sees fit. It's not man's plan, but it's God's free-flowing Spirit who reigns and rules. So 1 Corinthians chapter 14 has taught me many, many things about how our Sunday morning and our Wednesday night service, how they should go, and also how they should not go when we gather together. Are you ready to learn with me, church? Yep. Amen. Well, before we do that, I got to teach on something before we get into God's word. I want to highlight this morning the meaning of and the purpose of prophecy. Church, will you say prophecy?
Prophecy.
Here's what prophecy is. First off, prophecy should come out of every believer's mouth. If you follow Jesus and you love Jesus, even if it's been for a day, you can prophesy. And you should. For it is speaking to the things as they should be and not as they see them or you see them right now. Speak to them as if God wants it to be. What the Word says it should be, what your spirit resonates, how it should be, not as you see it right now. Many times it's speaking to future events, but here's its main purpose, is to communicate God's message to people by providing insight, warning, sometimes even correction, but most of all, encouragement. Amen. Prophecy is to help strengthen the faith of other believers. If you're a believer today, it's to strengthen and build your faith. Why and how? Well, you do it for edification. You do it by edification, exhortation, and you do it with comfort. Now, these words are anointed and they're loving. And this is what they're for. Upbuilding, insight, and affirmation. And prophecy should happen both corporately and individually. We are called to encourage one another with God's character and with God's nature. So when people are prophesying, here's what is happening. You are speaking encouragement to one another with human words. But those words are uniquely given by the Holy Spirit. This gift is within the potential of every believer. We're going to read that in verse 31. And prophecy in some form or another should be done in every service when we meet together corporately. What does prophecy do? It helps give vision and expectation of what God is going to do. Now, prophecy is not God's word. It is not scripture directly. It's not just reading scripture only. Prophecy It does come from God's Holy Spirit, but all prophecy should be judged by God's eternal word, which is the Bible. So let me speak to that. Some of y'all watching all kinds of online prophets all the time, and you have not gotten in the word and said, is that what God said or that human? You have been taking the prophecies of the prophets as Bible, and it is not Bible until it lines up with the Bible. You just keep taking it. You're getting lazy and reading the word, and you want somebody to give you a word when the word is in the word. Yeah. Right? You got to give prophecies important. Prophecies important, and it says it should happen all the time with believers. But if that's all you're getting is prophecy after prophecy after prophecy, and you haven't gotten God's word, you're getting lazy. And you're believing things, most likely, that are not even biblical. Amen. You're welcome. Amen. Amen. I just feel that. Prophet after prophet after prophet after prophet, right? I love the prophet. Okay, I'm going there. I love the prophets that said, President Trump is going to be the next president. And I prophesy, 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 prophesy. And then he wasn't. However you see that happened, or it didn't happen, or whatever you believe about the vote, it doesn't really matter. What happens is it didn't happen. And I love the prophets that humble themselves and said, guess what? I'm a human vessel. And I don't always nail it, but I'm going to keep on prophesying. Right? You don't just throw the baby out with the bathwater. How many times have you messed up? Oh, maybe I should never listen to you again. Well, I got revelation from the Lord. I know, but you have unforgiveness. You're a gossip. You've been mean to me. You didn't like my outfit last week. Whatever, right? Whatever it is. I know Susan ain't saying that this week. Right. Me and you, girl. Me and you. I want to speak to that. Prophecy is important, but don't take it just as Bible. Prophecy should line up with the Word of God. And when it lines up with the Word of God, run with it. Because that's God's Word. Amen? Amen? Everybody good? Amen. Okay, here's a fact. Before we get into God's Word. Here's a fact. The life of the New Testament church, right? We're a New Testament church. The life of a New Testament church is intended to be blessed by the gift of prophecy. It's intended to be blessed by the gift of prophecy. I desire for that to happen here at First Open Bible from this day forward. Right? We already have it. I get it. But I want what God wants, exactly what he wants. Now, what I'm not asking is for a bunch of people to just feel a feeling and just, I'm a prophet, I'm a prophet, I'm a... No, you line it up to the Word of God, you ask God, and he will give you the gift. And when you get into the gift and God gives you that gift, then edify and build up the church. But there is an order, right? There's an order. That's why I'm glad we have this. Otherwise, it could be a hot mess, and here we are again. We're a 1 Corinthians church that just pops off all the time, and new people come in and go, I don't even know what's going on. This is so confusing. But there is a purpose. I want First Open Bible to be a church that speaks life, casts out evil, and proclaims God's promises. All right, you ready? 1 Corinthians chapter 14. I'm just going to walk, I'm going to read, I'm going to teach, I'm going to preach, I'm going to prophesy. Here we go. Ready? Everybody got their Bible? Anybody who doesn't have their Bible? A good place to bring your Bible to is church. Okay? Okay, dust it off, bring it to church. Hallelujah. Do you know this is the only offensive weapon that there is? In Ephesians 6? Some of y'all just leave it. I wonder why I got beat up today. You didn't die, because you still have all the other stuff on, but you also didn't fight back. Come on now. Oh, come on. I haven't even read verse 1. Let's go. Okay. Verse 1. Chapter 14, 1 Corinthians. Let love be your highest goal. What should be your highest goal, church?
Love.
Love. Judgment, righteousness, unforgiveness, anger, frustration. Nope. Love's our highest goal. Then it says, but, right? That's the highest goal, but there's something coming that's also very important. But you should also desire the spiritual abilities the Spirit gives. Amen? It says, eagerly desire the gifts. And then it says, especially, which one? Especially the ability to prophesy. Okay. I love God and he loves me and I'm thankful for his love, and that is the highest goal that I have, but I also need to desire the gifts, and not only the gifts, I should especially desire the gift to prophesy. Okay, God, I know how to pray this week, or even right now. Verse 2, for if you have the ability to speak in tongues, you'll be talking only to God, right? That's okay. I love that I can speak with other tongues, because sometimes I run out of English. And sometimes my English just doesn't have the right words. And sometimes I run out of words, and sometimes I don't put the words together very good either. And then God made me a preacher. It's weird. Since people won't be able to understand you, it's true, you'll be speaking by the power of the Spirit, but it will all be mysterious. So when you speak with other tongues, it is mysterious. You know, you don't even understand it, but your spirit is speaking to God's spirit directly. Even the devil don't know what you're saying, but God does. Right? If you haven't been baptized in the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking other tongues, it's biblical, and if you want it, you can have it. Right? Next month is Pentecost, and we love that here as a Pentecostal church, right? It's one of our favorite Sundays. Hallelujah. Everybody bring snakes. I'm just joking. Pastor, you're crazy. I know. I'm just playing. That's another thing that we take out of context. Oh, stay on. Come back. You're only in verse 3, buddy. There's a whole bunch. But we believe in it. But if you want the baptism of the Holy Spirit and you want to be speaking with the evidence of speaking with other tongues, or you want the gifts of the Spirit, sometimes you just need to ask God for it. God, fill me with your power from on high. You don't always have to have somebody lay hands on you. You don't have to come to a service and get all hyped up and do it. You can do it in your car, right? But you might want to pull over. You're going to set you free, right? You're going to be playing bumper cars in the Lord. Or maybe it'll be in your prayer closet, or maybe it's at work. I don't know. God wants to give you good gifts. It says in the Word, we serve a God that wants to give his children good gifts. Amen. He wants to give you that gift. Why? Being filled with the Holy Spirit, what it's like is this. It's like you have an engine, and until you're filled with the Spirit, you don't have gasoline. Amen. Once you got that gasoline, you can go. Yep. Right? You can go. Where am I at? Verse 3. Okay. But one who prophesies strengthens and encourages them. I'm sorry. But the one who prophesies strengthens others, encouraging them and comforts them. A person who speaks in tongues is strengthened personally. That's not a bad thing. That's a good thing. But one who speaks a word of prophecy strengthens the entire church. 3 and 4, so powerful. Right? And then later on, we're going to learn that tongue interpretation is equal to prophecy. Amen. Verse 5. I wish you could all speak in tongues, but even more, I wish you could all prophesy. See, a lot of Pentecostal churches, we put everything in one basket. Man, you got to speak with other tongues. And Paul, who speaks in tongues then more than any of us, is in his words, says, but he even desires that we would prophesy even over speaking in tongues. Okay, that's the word. Okay. For prophecy is greater than speaking in tongues, unless someone interprets what you are saying so the whole church can be strengthened. Prophecy, tongue interpretation equals to prophecy. They both strengthen the whole church. Dear brothers and sisters, if I should come to you and speak in an unknown language, how would that help you? But if you bring revelation of some special knowledge or prophecy or teaching, that will be helpful. Even lifeless instruments like the flute, sorry about that. He didn't mean it. That was fun. Even lifeless instruments like the flute, it's true, or the harp, must play the notes clearly, or no one will recognize the melody. That's why you don't have me on the flute. And if the bugler does not sound a clear call, how will the soldiers know they're being called to battle? And then he says, what it's the same. It's the same for you. If you speak to people words they don't understand, how will they know what you're saying? You might as well be talking to an empty space. God's word is good. Verse 10, there are many different languages in the world, and every language has meaning. But if I don't understand a language, I'll be a foreigner to someone who speaks it. And the one who speaks it will be a foreigner to me. Right? I know very little Swahili. Jambo, anybody knows Swahili in here? Jambo. Anybody? Jambo, son. Missouri, right? That is it. Now, if we just keep on going, I ain't got nothing for you. I only know English, and I'm not very good at that. But if all I did was go up here and I preached to people in here who only pretty much know English, and I did it all in Swahili, what benefit would that be? Or if I did it all in tongues, what benefit would that be? Who would be edified in here? They'd be happy. Right? If I did Japanese, Miss Kayla would be happy. I don't know either one of those, so you ain't going to be happy. I hope you like English, because that's all I got. Verse 12 says, and the same is true for you. Since you're so eager to have a special abilities the Spirit gives, seek those that will strengthen the whole church. Man, the greatest servant of all, Jesus, yet again reveals through his word that even when you desire gifts from the Holy Spirit, don't be selfish. Wow. Desire the gifts that are sacrificial so everyone else is edified and built up and encouraged. Thank you, God. Verse 13. So anyone who speaks in tongues should pray also for the ability to interpret what is being said. For if I pray in tongues, my spirit is praying, but I don't understand what I am saying. Well then, that's why we always, if anybody comes up here with a tongue, they have to have an interpretation. And if you don't see someone who's going to interpret, you have to interpret if you gave the tongues. That's biblical. We're reading it right now. Why? Because it doesn't edify anybody. If you just get up and speak in tongues, nobody don't know what you said. But an interpretation, that's equal to prophecy. And that builds everybody up. All right, are we in verse 15? Good. Well then, I should have got a bigger Bible with bigger words. These are, look how small that is. Well then, Ross, let me borrow them glasses, man. Well then, what shall I do? I will pray in the Spirit. And I will also pray in words I understand. I will sing in the Spirit. Come on, Brent. And I will also sing in words I understand. For if you praise God only in the Spirit, how will those who don't understand you praise God along with you? How will they join in giving thanks when they don't understand what you are saying? If Brent was up there just singing in tongues, no, we wouldn't know what he's saying. Follow along, like, yeah, shout out, yeah. Like, what? I have no idea what he's saying. Verse 17, you'll be giving thanks very well. That doesn't mean that it's not profitable. The problem with tongues without interpretation in a corporate setting is it's only profitable for the one that speaks in tongues. It's not profitable or benefiting everyone else. It is only for you. It's still profitable, but only for you. Does that make sense? Okay. How can they join you in giving thanks when they don't understand what you're saying? Verse 17. You'll be giving thanks very well, but you won't strengthen the people who hear you. Verse 18. I thank God that I speak in tongues more than any of you. But in the church meeting, right now, I would rather speak 5 understandable words to help others than 10,000 words in an unknown language. Dear brothers and sisters, don't be childish in your understanding of these things. Be innocent. There's a difference between childish and innocent. Be innocent as babies when it comes to evil, but be mature in understanding matters of this kind. It is written in the scriptures, right? This comes from a prophet, Isaiah, one of my favorite prophets in the Old Testament. He says this. This is also Isaiah 28, 11, and 12. For I speak to my own people through strange languages. And you thought it was just a New Testament thing. And through the lips of foreigners. But even then, they don't listen to me, says the Lord. So you see, that speaking in tongues is a sign not for believers, but for the unbelievers. Prophecy, however, is for the benefit of believers, not unbelievers. Even so, if believers or people who don't understand these things come into your church meeting, now listen to this. This is for everybody, guess. Oh, I'm going to point something out in just a second. I got this revelation last night when I was praying and studying. Even so, if unbelievers or people who don't understand these things, did you hear that? Unbelievers, we get that they don't understand tongues, interpretation, prophecy. They don't get why you're yelling and screaming, but they dress a fool on Sundays for their team and they paint their body blue or whatever. But like, you guys are weird. Oh, okay. Y'all also weird. We just weird for something else, okay? Something that matters. But check this out. But even so, unbelievers, or what does it say? People who don't understand these things. That's other believers who don't understand what we're getting revelation in. I just got that last night. I grew up in one of the mainline denominations that I remember growing up and thinking, speaking other tongues and or any gifts of the Spirit. Not only did they die out with the apostolic age, which doesn't make sense because Paul was not in the other 120 in the upper room. He actually wouldn't walk with, he didn't even walk with Jesus, but yet he prays in tongues more than us and he teaches us all how to walk in the Spirit. So that doesn't even make sense. The apostolic age dying out, whatever. So they got it through osmosis maybe, through the disciples. I don't know, but couldn't that just happen through that's a different teaching. I'm sorry, I'm going down a rabbit trail. But somebody believes somebody in here believes that died out a long time ago. Well, how is that possible when the Spirit of God fell in the 120 that Paul or Saul wasn't even in the room? Okay? Okay. Thank you. You're welcome. Awesome. But what's telling me is this. I grew up in a church that not only did not taught that this is not of God now, but also taught that it's not of God at all. Even so, if unbelievers or people who don't understand these things, that's the revelation I got where I grew up. It was hard to get my head around being baptized in the Holy Spirit because I couldn't yield to it because of what I was taught in the past. But break down my religion, right? That's my religion. That's not the Bible. That's my religion because a religious person told me that's not of God. And then my dad went in and said, well, then why does the Bible say this? And they couldn't give an answer. Moving on. Woo, 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 woo. Come on, can I get an amen? Can I get a testimony? Not now, I'm going a little long, so next week. Even so, if unbelievers or people who don't understand these things come into your church meeting and hear everyone speaking an unknown language, they will think you're crazy. I would too. But, if all of you are prophesying, and unbelievers or people who don't even understand these things come into your meeting, they will be convicted of sin and judged by what you say. As they listen to their secret thoughts will be exposed and they will fall to their knees and worship God. And what will they declare? God is truly here among you. Woo, you don't think prophecy is important. Come on now. I'm going to keep reading. Well, my brothers and sisters, let me summarize. AKA, if he was a rapper, he'd say, let me break it down for you. Right? All right. Rapper Paul, what's up, dude? Well, my brothers and sisters, let me summarize. He's going to break it down for us now. He's going to bring it all back and give it to us again. He says, when you meet together, one will sing, another will teach, another will tell a special revelation God has given. One will speak in tongues and another will interpret what is said. But everything that is done must strengthen all of you. He's not saying this is the order of service every service. What he's saying is there is order to the service. These should be evident. And it should strengthen everyone. Verse 27. No more than two or three should speak in tongues. They must speak at one time and some must interpret what they said. But if no one is present, see, this is what I said earlier, but if no one's present who can interpret, they must be silent in your church meeting and speak in tongues to God privately. If there's not interpretation, you don't see an interpreter that has that gift, then you can keep it silent. The Holy Spirit's not going to take you over and you can't control it. That is not true. You can control it. Right? It says prophecy is subject to the prophets in the New King James Version. That's what I normally study out of. And that's what that's saying is that you have control over what God gives you. He doesn't take you over and you just become this lifeless zombie who just needs to tell everybody what's going on. That's not how that works. God works through your willingness, through your surrender, and through your free will. Amen. What verse am I on now? I'm going to wrap it up. What verse? 28? 29? 29. Let two or three people prophesy and let the others evaluate what is said. It's always important to evaluate, right? We need Bereans searching the word to make sure it lines up. Don't just take it as gospel. Let it line up with the gospel. And then let it be. Verse 30. But if someone is prophesying and another person receives a revelation from the Lord, the one who's speaking must stop. In this same way, all who prophesy will have a turn to speak, one after the other. You don't cause chaos and confusion. That's why I'm the only one preaching right now. We don't have two people preaching and causing confusion at the exact same time. There's an order so that everyone will learn and be encouraged. Remember that people who prophesy are in control of their spirit and can take turns. There it is. For God is not a God of disorder. He's a God of what, church? What's that word there?
Peace.
He's a God of peace. As in all the meetings of God's holy people. Women should be silent during the church. Remember, I taught on this earlier. Church meetings. It is not proper for them to speak as they should be submissive, just as the law says. If they have any questions, they should ask their husbands at home. It's improper for women to speak in church meetings. That's when I have like 10 women just getting up. I don't know what you said. What does that mean? I don't know. Let's talk about it. Not right now. Okay, that's what was going on right now. Go home, ask the questions then. That goes for men too, and children and everyone. It's good to talk. I hope you go out to eat and talk about what God said that day. I hope you do that. I hope you meditate on it. I hope you get in God's word over through the week and say, God, I know there's more to chew on here. 36, I love this. He humbles them, right? He humbles them. And I believe God wants to humble us today. Not because he's mad at us, but because he knows there's a proper order and he knows there's more for us. He says, or do you think God's word originated with you, Corinthians? Woo! Are you the only ones whom it was given? Some of y'all think you're Pentecostal and you're better than. You're not. You should be submitted more. Take a down approach. Verse 37. If you claim to be a prophet or think you are spiritual, you should recognize that what I am saying is a command from the Lord himself. But if you do not recognize this, you yourself will not be recognized. So here's the end. So my dear brothers and sisters, be eager to prophesy. And don't forbid speaking in tongues. But be sure that everything is done properly and in order. Amen? I'm going to say a few things before we go today. Let me read you something that happened in the New Testament. It's just like three verses. See, prophecy from God's Spirit is not only a New Testament thing. Listen to this. In Numbers 11, 26 through 29, it says this. Two men, Eldad and Medad. Junior high must have been tough for them. Those are weird names. Okay. They had stayed behind the camp. They were listed among the elders, so they were leaders in the church, but they had not gone out into the tabernacle. Yet the Spirit rested upon them as well. They didn't go into the church house, but yet the Spirit still rested on them. So they prophesied there in the camp. A young man ran and reported to Moses, Eldad and Medad, they're prophesying in the camp. How dare them? Joshua, son of Nun, who had been Moses' assistant since his youth, protested. Moses, my master, make them stop. That's out of line. Can't believe it. They didn't even go to the church. How can they just do that anywhere? But Moses replied, are you jealous for my sake? I wish that all the Lord's people were prophets and that the Lord would put his Spirit upon them all. Here's how I'm wrapping up. Church, even Joshua wanted man's ways to rule over God's ways. Just because these two elders didn't enter into the tabernacle and follow God's rules for the way it should go, Joshua thinks they he thinks they have no right to prophesy. But God's Spirit, it says, rested on them as well, as they did what God empowered them to do. And what did they do? They prophesied in the camp with the people, not just in the tabernacle. The Spirit of the Lord came on the day of Pentecost and rested on 120 in the upper room, and He is here now in this room. He's all around your life, and if you're saved, He's inside of you. So prophesy, believers. Speak to the situations. Speak God's life. Speak to it as it should be, not as it is now. Speak it out. 1 Corinthians 14:39. So my dear brothers and sisters, be eager, right? I looked up some other words that means. Be fervent, enthusiastic, be zealous, passionate, motivated, wholehearted. Be diligent to prophesy. And don't forbid speaking in tongues. Hearing from the Lord does not come from effort. Hearing from the Lord comes from surrender. Yield to God's Holy Spirit. You don't have all the answers, and guess what? You don't always have to understand it, but He does call us to be obedient and faithful. Church, don't prophesy the problem. Prophesy the answer to the problem. For prophecy is warfare. It is not to tear down. It is to call out destiny. It is to break down the demonic lies in people's lives. It breathes life into dead things. Just one word from the Lord, one prophecy from the Lord will rise your life from the ashes. Church, will you stand? The last thing I wrote on here was, now give them heaven. Brent, will you come if you want to? If not, whatever. I know it's a little late. I know some of y'all got to go. Some of y'all leaving at the best part of the whole service right now. What good is it if you hear the word of God but you do nothing about it? Bible says, it says, if you look in a mirror, you walk away and you forget what you look like. Don't be just hearers of God's word. Be doers. Are you ready? Anybody nervous to prophesy? Raise your hand. 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 If you're nervous, prophesy. Raise your hand. Raise your hand. Raise your hand. If you're nervous. Look at that. You did that. Don't be nervous. Welcome. You did that in church with people. Don't make something what it's not. Don't make it something that it's not. Church, it's not scary. You're commanded to do it. All you have to do, if you have love for people, if you have love for God, if you have the word hidden, it says that you hide it in your heart, right? Hide it in the heart so that way the right time it comes out of your life. Before you go today, you're going to look at your neighbor and you're going to speak life to them. I don't know. Maybe God will give you a word of knowledge. What is that? What they're going through right now. You're going through this, and God says this. Or a word of wisdom. You're going through this, and God says you need to do this so you can do the right things that God wants you to do. Right? Something in the future. Or maybe you're just going to speak prophecy to them. Speak life, church. 1 Corinthians 14 says we're all supposed to do it. And you're never going to do it if you don't step out of the boat. Step out in faith. Amen? I'm going to pray for you. And then I'm going to ask you just to turn to your neighbor and say something. Be led by the Spirit. It might be 5 words. It might be 100 words. But those people next to you are going through something. They have a challenge in their life. They're broken and they're hurting. And if the church is not going to step up and speak life to it, who is? Who is? You think they're going to get the answer out there? They're not. Build up people as you prophesy to their situation. Amen? Amen. I know you're nervous. Good. I know I probably shouldn't say that, but I am glad. I get nervous. That's okay. That's when God can take over. It's okay to be nervous. It means you're going to do something not on your own. If you're doing life all on your own, you're not doing it with God. All right. Will you just raise your hands as an international sign of surrender? Here we are, God. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your conviction. Thank you for your power. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your forgiveness. And thank you for your boldness. You're a good God and you give good gifts to your children. And I just thank you in 1 Corinthians chapter 14 that you wrote 2,000 years ago, and we were able to read it in English this morning. We read it in English to get revelation in English so we can speak English or whatever our native tongue is to someone else who has that same native tongue. I pray that right now we surrender to you and your will. Help us speak life into a situation someone else is going through. Let's speak to that and prophesy to them. Speak to things as if God wants them to be and not that they are now. Those of you who are sick, I speak by the stripes of Jesus, you are already healed. Walk in the healing. For those that are tormented by spirits, you must go in the name of Jesus. You have no place. Be set free right now. You will walk out today lighter, and you will fill that space with the Holy Spirit. Those of you who have some sort of curse upon your life, it is broken by the stripes and by the nails of Jesus. That curse is broken. You do not have to walk out, think like it, talk like it, or do it anymore. Those of you who are broken, God speaks life today. He loves you enough that he says today, from me to you, you are loved. He's been there. He won't leave you. He's never forsaken you. You are the apple of his eye. He calls you beloved. That he loves you so much, he died on the cross for you. He sent his one and only son, the one he loves so much, he sent him because he loves you enough. He wants you to come back to him. Know that you are loved. And how do you know that you are loved? Because you're here today to hear a message from God, from his throne to you. And somebody before you go today is going to prophesy to you and your situation. God, we love you. We thank you. And we worship you. In Jesus' name, amen. Before you go, turn to your neighbor or someone else, and you got to say some life to them. Speak life. Prophesy. Prophesy. Don't be scared. Step out. Prophesy. Don't be nervous. Prophesy. Five words. Prophesy. It doesn't matter. Prophesy. God's going to do this. God has already done that. He loves you. Hallelujah.